look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe and I here, of course, manning the helm. Folks, don't forget to check out our store, HagmanReportStore.com. We celebrated our grand opening last week. All purchases right now, of course, you can make your purchases. It's secured. We have a security certificate there, so you can... that'll come in handy as soon as, well, if you want to use your credit cards via PayPal, you can do that, and credit cards will be accepted here shortly, but, just some fun things, actually. Some fun things. You gotta read the program, or the, item descriptions. HagmanReportStore.com. This hour, this week, I want to make sure everyone knows, not tomorrow, the first part of the program, Flip Benham is going to be coming on, John Robertson talking about the larger issue of what we're talking about today a little bit. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to have
Steve Quayle
and Tom Horn. Yeah, I talked to Steve this past weekend. He's on the Jim Baker Show, Steve Quayle and Tom Horn, Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford are on today, tomorrow, and possibly Wednesday.
And if you go to Steve Quayle's YouTube site.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw a quick video of actually what you and me watched on TV last Thursday, okay, where Pastor Langford was talking about the pits.
Yeah.
There's a couple of YouTube clips from the Jim Baker Show on Steve's YouTube site.
And Gary Haven was on before that talking about Armageddon. And folks, you know, Armageddon, the film, we had a pre-release sent to us. We watched it. It was a great film. It talks about really depicts the sociological and psychological aspects of an EMP and how important planning is and how important not just planning but knowing your surroundings. And as we get further down, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Joe, in a second, but I just want to make sure people know this. We could talk about the economy today. But what's there to talk about? It's a house of cards. When's it going to stop? When is the house of cards going to fall? We don't know. But if your money is in the bank, get it out of the bank. Keep enough in there to pay your bills, but get your money out of the bank. Put it in hard assets. Keep some cash on hand. If you're in a 401k, get it out of there. Really? I mean, again, we're in a house of cards. We can talk about the military aspects of things. How the military is down to the lowest levels since World War II. You think that's by accident? No, it's by design. Why? Why? Because we're trying to cut back No. We're being captured from within. Because we have communists, we've got communists, Fabian socialists, and really Luciferians within our government. We're a captured operation. If you don't understand that, then you really don't understand anything. And part and parcel to this is the attack on the morality, which we're really focusing on tonight. The attack on the nuclear family, the attack on mom and dad, the attack on our children. and how all of what we're talking about relates to human trafficking, how all that we're talking about with respect to abortion relates to satanic ritual abuse and child sacrifice. Don't for a minute think that the demons are not rejoicing and that Satan's not rejoicing that we have children being sacrificed at the altar of political correctness with, instead of them being burned on the altar of Moloch, they're being burned by saline solutions by these despicable human beings that call themselves doctors in these abortuaries, in these charnel houses. And Christians are rolling over and saying, "No, it's legal. It's legal." No, it's not. With that, Greg, take it away, because I'm starting to get, blood vessel up here.
No, you're doing great, Doug and Joe. Thank you for having me on here. Especially, I was on with you guys last week, and I so appreciate always the opportunity to come on to your show whenever I have the opportunity to redeem the time. And I will say today, I am sad. Today, I know Pastor Lankford and Steve Quayle last week talked about tears. I'm lamenting, and when I look at how fast and furious the evil that is taking this country over in virtually every area of society, we're just being bombarded. It's like the gates of hell are just opening up. And I will admit to you guys that this weekend I was saddened, obviously, about the Friday the 13th declaration or proclamation or directive from the White House has nothing to do with transgenders, by the way, but that directive that the Obama administration and his criminal cabal that runs the Attorney General's office sent out to all 50 states essentially said that if public schools don't allow males to pee and poop and change right alongside girls in girls' restrooms and in girls' locker rooms, then they will be in violation of Title IX, which has nothing to do with bathroom usage by people who are sexually confused.
Title IX is nothing. You're right. Title IX, anyone who falls for that, has no idea what they're talking about, or they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes.
Yeah, it's a straw man. It's a diversion. It has nothing to do with what is really going on here. And so, essentially, the Obama administration, who is essentially unlike most lame duck presidents, Doug and Joe, who, what do they do in their last year? They play a lot of golf. Well, this is one time when I wish Obama would get back on the golf course, but this guy is part of the Rainbow Jihad. That's why we call him Jihad Barry. That's why we call him Bathhouse Barry, because this guy is on jihad to put the final nails in the coffin of what used to be the greatest nation in the history of the earth, of the world. And he, from day one, has been on jihad to destroy America. Of course, it's not just Barry Obama. It's all of the people in his administration and his globalist handlers. But getting back to the Friday the 13th, and I know I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in, walking under ladders and, black cats crossing my path and all that stuff. But as you aptly say, Doug, the Illuminists do believe in numerology. We know that numbers have significance in certain days. We just came out of April where there were a lot of very meaningful days, I think between the 19th and May 1st, to these Luciferians that hold tremendous significance for them. And I believe that the Friday the 13th, which was this past Friday's directive from the Obama administration, was very, very intentional. And essentially the goal was to destroy any biblical notion of human sexuality. So on June, I forget the date, when Obergefell decision or opinion came down, which is not the law of the land, Doug. It's a court opinion which should have been and should be ignored by every governor of every state in the country as the unconstitutional and immoral abomination that it is, along with Roe versus Wade and That is what every state should have done. And the same for this Obergefell opinion. And when that came down, essentially, every state in the country folded and accepted this false notion that marriage had been redefined and that gay marriage, quote-unquote gay marriage, was quote-unquote legalized, when, as we all know, nothing could be further from the truth. Because any law contrary to God's law is no law at all. Courts don't make law. Only legislators make law. And even if the legislator, even if the Congress had redefined or attempted to redefine marriage to accommodate same-sex marriage, it would still be immoral, unconstitutional, and illegal, because any law or court opinion contrary to the divinely revealed word of God is no law at all. And that's not coming from Greg Jackson. That is coming from the founding fathers, from Blackstone, from Martin Luther King, from St. Augustine, from St. Aquinas, from Lex Rex, Samuel Rutherford. This used to be common knowledge way back when, before people started communicating in 120 letter texts as their primary form of communication, when people spent more than 5 minutes reading an article trying to digest it. And so we were told, Joe and Doug, that when prayer in the Bible was taken out in 1963, it's not that big of a deal. Your kids are still going to be able to go to church. They're still going to be able to pray over their food. And then condoms were put on cucumbers, and then witchcraft began to be taught. The eight pillars of Islam recently recited in our public schools. And parents said, it's not a big deal. Johnny goes to Sunday school, and he's a good Christian, and we pay taxes after all. You know, that's where our property taxes go, to pay for our public school. And then, you know, they told Coach Dave that he couldn't pray with his football team down on the field. And for 2 years, he fought the ACLU as they sued him. And by the way, not one pastor called him in that entire two-year period of time to come to his defense. And then we were told that, there's going to be these LGBTQ whatever clubs at school. And they're going to be, holding their little forums, but your kids don't have to take part in it. But, we are going to celebrate diversity on campus, and there's not going to be any sort of, persecution or, we have to be tolerant of all sexual orientations. And now, as of Friday the 13th of last week, we're told that your 12-year-old boy or your 9-year-old boy can go and pee and poop and do his business. And by the way, the administrators aren't allowed to ask about their sexual identity. If little Johnny feels like a girl that day and wants to play with his pom-poms and go into the girls' room and shower with the girls with the 13-year-olds, and I'm sorry if I'm being so graphic, but people really need to hear. They really need to hear how real this is right now. Because for a long time, people thought, oh, well, yeah, just same-sex marriage. It's only in Massachusetts. It's only in Washington where those loony liberals live. And, oh, yeah, my kids go to Christian school, and, same-sex marriage isn't going to affect my marriage or my business. Yeah, go tell that to the cake makers who were put out of business and have lost everything. I forget their name, the Kleins, in Portland, Oregon. So this is where we're at, Joe and Doug, because right now in all 50 states, and I know that some states are opting out or the attorney generals are saying we're not going to comply, but here's the bottom line. They'll fold because the rainbow jihadists know that Christians aren't willing to fight. We're just not. We're not willing to fight. Yeah. Go ahead, guys.
Okay, no, I just want to say this to those people listening and to you, Greg. When I was working full-time as a licensed investigator, I walked in. I remember this one day clearly. It was one of the first times I walked into Attica Penitentiary. This was, and don't forget, Attica had the riots back in the 70s. The people in Attica, worst of the worst. But I walked in there, and I remember this guard looking at me and saying, just be careful, because this guy is a psychopath. I mean, he was diagnosed as a psychopath. And he went down the list of what this guy was capable of. and what he had done and what his beliefs were even. This is before psychological profiling by the FBI, by any behavioral analysis, at least the formality of it. But here's what gets me. I said all of that just to lay the foundation. I knew going in there who I was talking to and what his agenda was, which was just strictly evil, perverse evil, beyond any comprehension. You sit down across the kitchen table from a Christian or a self-professed Christian, Greg. You don't have that. 99% of the time, you don't really know where they stand. I knew what I was getting into when I walked in through the doors of Attica and I heard the door shut behind me to interview the guy in there the first time I went in there. But when you talk to Christians, at least there's a lot of them, you don't know. Because they're too wimpy or they're too polluted mentally and spiritually to really form any cohesive stance. And to me, that's sad. And that's very telling of our generation of Christians. And I'm not talking about our audience, please. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about those people who are refusing to take a stand. Or so, you know, are so comfortable with their Stockholm syndrome or brainwashed that, all right, I'm done. Go ahead.
You know, hopefully in this hour, and I want to leave your listeners at the end of the hour, and by the way, you got to listen to tomorrow's show with John Robertson and Pastor Flip Benham because they're going to cover this more in depth, but I do think that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that there's a reason that God is allowing this, and I believe that we as Christians have a tremendous opportunity to be salt and light and not be trampled upon if we are willing to get off of our derrieres and not rest on our blessed assurance, if you guys know what I'm talking about. Because for a lot of Christians, Christianity is, like you say, it's you know, banging out posts on Facebook, sitting on the couch and or listening to, you know, Hagman and Hagman or some of these other shows and listening and observing what is going on in the world, but never getting off of the bench and playing your position. And the Lord has called us, if you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, He has called you to get off of the bench, to seek His direction in your life and say, Lord, where do you want me to be for such a time as this? Because the bottom line, Joe and Doug, is that as scary and as dark as the times that we're living in are, as I said, every time that I'm on your show, these are some of the most exciting times probably in the history of the world, because I do believe that there's a good chance that we will be alive or are very close to the generation that will see the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is exciting. And you know what makes me the saddest, guys? What makes me the saddest is like that guy at Attica, right? Like, you knew what you were dealing with. But what makes me sad are those who profess to be Christians, profess to have all this authority and power, but they never exercise it. They never get into the game. They just watch. You know, I would love to know, yesterday being Sunday, how many church pastors in America talked about this issue, cleared their plate and just said, hey, I know that many of you are thinking to yourselves, how should we respond? What should be our response as Christians to the directive that was issued from the White House Friday? And what I fear, Joe and Doug, what I fear is that most pastors didn't talk about it. Why? Because they fear man more than they fear God. They fear that some of their congregants, many of their congregants, send their kids to public schools and they don't want tithing to go down. They don't want to offend them. They don't want to talk about anything controversial. They want to keep it on how to have your best life now and the five steps for creating more time with your kids and all of these other things that even some of them might be important. But the bottom line is that we as Christians send our kids, I don't, personally I don't, I send my kid, I'm fortunate, I send my kid to a Christian school, but the bottom line is there are tens of millions of self-professing Christians that are sending their kids to these government-run schools. And I want to be as delicate and as gentle and as loving as possible. But I want to say this. If I were a pastor of a church yesterday, I would have said to my congregation, folks, Satan is in the schoolhouse. Satan is looking to kill, steal, and destroy. They're looking to tear your kids apart, to kill your kids, to take their soul and rip it out of their hearts. They're looking to send your kids to hell. They're looking to pervert every shred and iota of innocence that your children possess. Because it was Charles Spurgeon who once said famously, when you remove the Holy Scriptures from the schoolhouse, they will become gates to hell. And folks, that's exactly what we're seeing right now. It's, you know, Columbine right down the street from me in Denver, Colorado. You know, we see the school shootings. We see all the mayhem. We see police and armed guards at schoolhouses. We see the fact that in commencement speeches, children, you know, kids who are valedictorian can talk about anything, but you can't name the name of Jesus, who's the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the entire universe. We set our watches, our clocks by him, our calendars by him, but you can't say his name. You can talk about anything else, just don't mention the name of Jesus. You can even say God, but don't say Jesus. And folks, if you are sending your children to a public school, I got to tell you, I know it's May, and there's only a couple weeks left for school, but the building is on fire. You don't wait it out a couple more weeks. This is just one man's opinion, Joe and Doug, and I know it's coming across a little bit harsh. And thank you for having me on and letting me share my heart. But if you are sending your kids to public school, you got to get them out of there. Matter of fact, if I had been sending my kid to public school, I would have taken them out a long time ago, because it's the only place in the world where you could send your kids where they're going to be intentionally deprived of hearing God's word or anything about Jesus. It's the only thing that can't be talked about in any public school in America. And maybe there's a couple of exceptions. I don't know. And I'm sure there's some good Christian teachers out there that try to do the right thing. And they try to encourage and allow their students to read the Bible. So I don't want to, you know, paint with too broad of a brush. But I will say this. If you love your kids, you have to realize this is a code blue moral and spiritual crisis. Not only are your kids going and being brainwashed in the religion of humanism, which teaches little Johnny that he's the center of the universe and can do no wrong, and everyone's a winner, and they come from slime and apes, and that there really is no divinely supreme revealed law or set of ethics. Everything is relative. Truth is relative. If it feels good, do it. Not only are they being taught that, not only are they being trained to be good little communists and good little boys and girls of the New World Order, but now their very innocence, their sexual purity is being violated. Satan has taken off his glove. Obama has taken off his velvet glove, and he's putting it right in your face. And he's saying, you Christians don't scare me. You guys are nothing but blather. You go to church on Sunday, but you send your kids to our little communist indoctrination centers, our Marxist madrasas, and you let us put condoms on cucumbers with them and tell them to experiment with sex and how great homosexuality is. We get to violate their innocence. We get to tell them everything that contradicts what you try to teach them in 1.5 hours of Sunday school. And trust me, we have the upper hand, because we got 40 hours with your kids. And guess what? They don't even take their books home anymore, because everything's done on an iPad. So you don't even know half the stuff we're teaching them. And folks, that's the reality of the situation. And now all 50 states are allowed, by the way, it's totally immoral and unconstitutional, this joker clown, bathhouse Barry in the White House should be perp walked in the prison. And if we actually had if we had civil magistrates that had any honor and integrity and fear of the Lord, they would be going to 1600 Transylvania Avenue or Pennsylvania Avenue, whatever you want to call it, and they would be with military and armed guards, and they would be sending this guy back to Kenya where he came from. Jihad Barry. But the bottom line is this, and I'll turn it back to you guys, because I want to hear, you know, your thoughts on this whole thing too. But the bottom line is this, guys. Now your children are in physical peril. And if we as Christians don't reach out, you might be thinking, oh well, my kid's in Christian school, it doesn't really affect me. Oh yeah, it's going to affect you. Guarantee it. And by the way, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That means we love the kids who go to public school as well, and we love the parents enough to encourage them to take their kids out of these burning buildings that are being overrun by Satan, and now in all 50 states has policies that allow, let me repeat this, 9, 10, 11 year old boys can go into the bathroom with 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old girls. You don't have to be transgendered, and by the way, it's a total oxymoron. You're either a chick or a dude. You either have the instrumentation of a male or a female. You can put lipstick on, but it doesn't make you a female. Bruce Jenner even knows that. And by the way, his name's Bruce. Stop calling him Caitlin. Bruce, if you're listening, your name is Bruce. Get a hold of yourself. But the bottom line is this, folks. I'm with 3 weeks or 4 weeks left to school, I'm encouraging you to really give some thought to making other plans for your kids, to take them out. Just like, Doug, what you're talking about, not flying whenever possible, not letting these TSA goons molest you, not feeding the beast. Let us come out of Babylon, and let's come out of the Babylonian, quote-unquote, school systems, which don't educate our children in biblical ethics and morality and how to practice righteousness and truth and justice in our lives. And I pray that you would strongly consider taking your kids out and making other plans. Either getting together with other homeschool parents. There's so many great curriculums online. I mean, at the very least, get them a copy of 40 Things to Teach Your Children and a Bible. They're going to learn more in the next, 3 weeks of school than they probably learned for the last 6, 8, 10 years of being in school. Teach your kids God's Word. Get them involved. Give them the blessing of a biblical education. And pastors out there, Rick Wiles talked about this last week. If your church is not being used 5 or 6 days a week, open it up. Allow parents to come in and have Christian schools in your churches. Imagine, Joe and Doug, what this country would look like in a matter of a couple of years if Christians alone took their kids out of these Marxist madrasas, these satanic government New World Order indoctrination centers, and taught them God's Word. You talk about wanting revival and restoration and a new America, making America great again. Well, we should oppose TPP, and maybe Trump has some good ideas to make America great again on the economic side. He's pretty good at that. But America can never be great unless she becomes good. And we only become good when we rededicate ourselves to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ. This nation has no hope aside from Jesus. I'm going to turn it back to you guys, because I'm...
Amen. No, and folks, listen, I hope you'll listen carefully to what Greg said. You see, the Friday the 13th, Greg, what did you call? What was that? I don't want to misquote you, or that was the, ordering the states. What was that? What's the official name of that?
Well, it was a directive. Totally immoral, illegal, and unconstitutional by the Attorney General, directing that all state schools at every level would be denied federal funding if they didn't comply with the new policy, which basically requires all schools to allow those who self-identify as the opposite sex to use the opposite sex bathrooms as well as locker rooms. You know, this has nothing to do with transgender, like a, you know, I mean, look, Joe and Doug, let's be honest. Every school could install a unisex bathroom, right? Like a family a changing room, like they have at Target and other stores, if that were really the issue for the, you know, very, very infinitesimal number of self-described transgendered students in America. But that's not the goal. The goal is to violate your children's sexual purity, to endanger them, to create turmoil and chaos and destruction, because Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy your children. And I'm sorry if I'm being so blunt about it, but we do not wage against the flesh, but in the powers and principalities above. And if we are so, you know, heavenly minded, waiting to be raptured, that we're, you know, I think, you know, we run the risk of being no earthly good. And we, you know, and I'm, by the way, I'm just going to just say, I love the interview you had with Michael Snyder last week. Listeners, go back into the archives, listen to Thursday's program with Michael, is his name Michael Snyder, Doug?
Yes, yes.
It was a phenomenal interview, and this rest of this hour isn't about biblical eschatology, but I've heard him interviewed now twice. I haven't read his book yet, but I've heard his reasoning, his argument, and I do think it's important what we think about the end times, because I think that there's a false sense of security that those who think that, oh, this is never going to affect me, you know, the little, you know, boys going into the locker room, we're going to be raptured before it really gets bad. But read for yourself. You know, I'm not totally dogmatic about it, but I do believe that the Bible clear. I mean, look, I would believe in the pre-tribulation rapture if I actually saw one verse in the whole Bible that said that the church gets raptured before the tribulation. But Jesus says in Matthew 24, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but in the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Sound like a maybe could be applied to 2016 in America, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Folks, there's only one second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's after there is much, there's wars and rumors of wars, there's false prophets, there's an increase in lawlessness, it's marked by a love of many growing cold, it's by good being called evil and evil being called good. Folks, we are in those days. These are the days, I believe, that Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. He tells us when the end will come. We are in those days.
There will be
great tribulation, such as not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, nor will there ever be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if someone says to you, look, here is Christ and there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray. If possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, so that if they say, look, here he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Folks, if you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be persecuted. He said if they killed him, they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. So if you're a Christian, you better pick up your cross and get used to it. It's not fun, but those are the days that we're living in, Joe and Doug. And we could hide in our churches. The lines weren't clearly delineated right now. But there's really not that many places to hide anymore.
No. No, not at all. No.
There's not that many places to hide anymore, Joe and Doug.
No, there isn't. And most people find, most people take comfort in attempting to hide behind certain things. I want to back up just a minute, because I did kind of prompt you about the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, about what you had said. Just to be clear, I really, when you look at something with a critical mind, and you've got some scintilla of intellectual honesty, you look at something with, what happened on Friday was this, and just to be very clear, well, there was an article that was published by the Young Conservatives that. Now, the Young Conservatives reported that Obama himself decreed that all American schools must make bathrooms transgendered. Now, you had cleared this up for the most part. The truth of the matter is the Department of Justice and Education, their respective civil rights divisions, issued guidelines, and you're right, the regulations, if you will, to schools about transgender students and Title IX. Now, I want to kind of back up here and really hit this hard because, websites like Snopes, for example, and people cite Snopes saying, well, you know, they're the be all and end all to what's false and what's true. Well, obviously Snopes weighed in on this, the Soros funded husband and wife trailer, team. The reason I threw that in there is, let me calm down here. What they said was this, okay, or what they're saying. Well, that's not really true. It didn't happen that way, and perhaps the Young Conservatives website overstated the case a tad. However, by reporting that Obama himself decreed that all American schools must make bathrooms transgender or face lawsuits and potentially lose federal funding. Well, what's really true about that is Obama did urge the DOJ and the DOE, Department of Justice and Department of Education, the latter, of course, being totally communist oriented. But he did work with them to make this regulation. And Title IX funding contingent state for states contingent upon, and I want to be clear on this, making the language consistent using terms like transgendered. Okay, and what they did was this: they issued this ruling, a joint statement, a joint letter of guidance. It detailed federal guidelines for transgendered students for bathroom use and. Provided definitions for terms that don't even flippin' exist.
And I want to add that they stated the guidance was just that, a guidance. It was not a law.
Except we're going to spank you if you don't follow the guidance.
But they made it a very distinctive point to say it was merely a guidance that they urged people to follow.
Well, schools that were informed that failure to accommodate, or schools were informed, I should say, that failure to accommodate legally entitled students to necessary accommodations if they adhere to the thinking, hey, I'm a girl and I'm a guy, or, you know, I'm a whatever. that it would constitute violations of the obligations of federally funded schools. Now, that is true. So I guess what I'm really wanting to say was the restrooms, the locker rooms, everything you mentioned is in there. The assertions that these transgender students could neither be denied bathroom access nor segregated, and them citing that this is a civil rights issue pursuant to Title IX. My goodness. You know, you are absolutely correct, and you were one of the first persons that really made me understand Title IX, and thank you for that. But Title IX has nothing to, the civil rights issues of all this has nothing to do with this. But see, they're changing our language. And one more thing, and I'm going to turn it back to you. What we're seeing right now is, and I think this is so important, we are seeing the perceived power of the state in our lives. Greg, and ladies and gentlemen, what we're soon to see, going from the perceived power of the state, what we're soon to see is the actual violence of the state against its own people. That's where this is leading. Go ahead, sir.
You know, Title IX is a whole different thing, because even Title IX is totally immoral and unconstitutional, but we don't want to go down that rabbit trail. But you make a very valid point. The bottom line is that this administration and its Republican enablers, who will fully fund and not fight any of this stuff, just like they will fully fund Planned Parenthood. There won't be any hearings on the sales of aborted baby parts. The bottom line is that when you take God, and Paul McGuire talked about this on Friday, when you remove the transcendent moral authority of the scriptures in a society, either the God of the Bible is God, or government becomes God. And when government becomes God, tyranny is always the result. And this is what we are seeing in our country, is that we've had a couple of generations of God's word being diluted, being distorted, being twisted, not of at least, you know, one or two, if not three generations of unchurched, undiscipled Americans, millions of whom grew up going to the government indoctrination centers, and now we're bearing the fruit, unfortunately, of just allowing a little bit of sin. Remember, Jesus says, he says, a little leaven spoils the entire loaf. Just a little bit of sin. This is why on Passover, Jews traditionally remove all of the leavened products from their cabinets as a symbolic way to demonstrate to God, as a sacrificial act, as a ceremonial, ritualistic act, that they're removing the sin from their life. And that's why Jews eat matzah for 7 days of the Passover, leading up until Passover, excuse me, and the Last Supper, the Passover Seder. And so abortion, for example, started in the state of Mississippi, as Flip Benham has said on your show. And it started with, remember what the argument was, Joe and Doug? It's only going to be in rare cases of rape, right? And then it was rape and incest and the health of the mother. It's only going to be these few cases that we're going to allow. And then it became, it's only going to be in the first trimester. And then it's abortion on demand, which leads to 8 years of Republicans fully funding Planned Parenthood, the sale of baby body parts, abortion on demand, to the tune of 1.5 million babies a year being butchered in abortuaries across the country. And thank you for reading the three procedures that are done, the abortion procedures, Doug. I think I was glad that you did that, because people really need to have the reality of what an abortion procedure actually looks like. It's gruesome. And yet, we know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's why Jesus said, don't intentionally permit sin in your life. Keep your house clean. And for 300 years of American history, even predating our founding, why were we the most blessed nation on earth? Because for the most part, we weren't a perfect nation, but we knew right from wrong. We knew God's word, and our society reflected that. We didn't allow the intentional killing of babies. We didn't parade around homosexual sodomy in the streets and lesbianism and all sorts of perversity and call it a right, a civil rights issue. I'm sure black people who fought, who had to sit in the back of the bus and fought for their right to become more than three-fifths of a person, really appreciate being compared to a homosexual sodomite who chooses to engage in sodomy and was not born that way. I'm sure they really appreciate that totally bogus comparison. But the bottom line is, Joe and Doug, that when the church started to say that it was okay, and we talked about this last week on your show, the church talked about equality between males and females. They watered down the scriptures. The Bible doesn't talk about egalitarianism, that males and females are equal. Obviously, God loves males and females equally in the eyes of the Lord, but we have different roles based on our sexual, whether we're male or female. God, Christ is the head of the church, and he's called male to be the head of the family, the priest of the home, the head of his wife. He's called males in Ephesians chapter 5 to sacrifice and to for their wives, even to the point of death. He's called women to be the helper of their husbands, the encourager of their husbands. Eve was Adam's helper. And yet, we've had a generation that is taught not complementarianism, which is what the Bible teaches, but egalitarianism. And so then the church has allowed women pastors to teach men, which the Bible specifically prohibits. And I'm sorry, times have changed, Greg. Well, yeah, but God's word hasn't changed. Women make incredible teachers of other women and of children, but they're strictly prohibited by the scriptures for teaching men, for being pastors. And yet, unfortunately, we turned a blind eye to the roles that God instituted himself and ordained and defined. And unfortunately...
Greg, let me ask you something, though. Isn't the reason... See, I look at this, and I look at my wife, and we have what I would term a biblical marriage and relationship. Mm-hmm. She knows her place. I'm sorry. She knows her place, and I know my place. I know that I've got to be the head of the family. And if I fail to be the head of the family, what happens? She has to step up and be the head of the family. Is this not what we're seeing in the church and in the communities, where you've got women who see this vacuum that is present by the male who has absolutely been AWOL and failed and says, I'm gonna play my Xbox and just sit here, play my Xbox, maybe take a pop a few clonopins and or whatever you take, and hey, just chill for a while, or smoke by, roll up a fatty here, and I'll let the wife do all the hard stuff. But see, I just see this as being a total failure on the part of men, because I'm the head of my family, my wife, I elevate her to a position not of worship, but of, I cherish my wife, okay? I treat her like she should be treated, like the jewel that she is. And that's what a real man does. Absent of that. And you talk about this in your upcoming book. Oh, man. But go ahead.
Well, look, if we can point the finger at the liberals about Obama and Pelosi and all the liberals, or we can take a look at what is happening in our culture, in our society, men being allowed to go in the girls' restrooms and locker rooms. We can talk about the sale of baby body parts. And at the end of the day, Doug, you hit the nail on the head. It is the failure, especially judgment begins in the house of the Lord. It is the failure of Christian men to stand up and and say something with whatever platform God gives them to do something, to take action. We've tolerated just little lumps of that leaven, and then increasing lumps. Oh, it's just going to be a couple babies. You know, we're going to save 99, but we have to agree to sacrifice the one to the state. And now we've sacrificed our children for the past 50 years at the altar of political correctness, of convenience, and it's become an idol. Well, we pay for it after all. And, you know, they do say the Pledge of Allegiance, and little Johnny still does go to church. Well, now boys and girls are allowed to pee and poop and shower together. If you're not getting it by now, what would it take? I'm asking you individually, if you were a Christian man, head of your household, and your wife is looking to you to be a man and to be the head priest of your home and to take action, what would it take for you to take your children out of that demon-possessed, demon-inhabited public school that your kids go to, where Jesus is not allowed to be mentioned, God's word is not allowed to be read, and where now your 12 or 13 year old girl can now have a boy come in and shower with her in the gym changing area, in the locker room? What would it take? If that's not the cherry on top, what would it take? Would the principal have to come in and molest your daughter? What would it take? And I think that that's really fundamentally, Joe and Doug, this is such an opportunity for the church to take a stand, for pastors, for fathers to say, you're not going to do that with my little boy or girl. No way. This is the final line. I'm taking my kid out tomorrow. This is not going to happen under my watch, because I'm responsible for my child's upbringing and in making and training them up in the way a child should go and to teach them righteousness. And I'm not going to put my kid in harm's way. What would our nation look like if pastors next Sunday, 400,000 Christian pastors in America, spoke out against this and didn't just call for conservative reform of public schools? Because you're not going to put new wine into old wineskins. You got to get your kids out of these godless, atheistic government schools where they're perverting your child's mind and now they're putting their physical well-being at risk. What would our nation look like if pastors and parents came along side by side and they say, this is the year 2016. We're going to do whatever it takes to educate our kids together, parents together with pastors, church communities, and we're going to say, this is the final straw. You can have our tax money, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but your kids are not Caesar's. Maybe you got to pay tax to Caesar, but you render to Caesar what is Caesar and to God's what is God's. And those children are a gift from God that he knitted in the womb, Psalm 139. He knit those children in your womb and he gave you responsibility. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding harsh, Joe and Doug, but this is a code blue situation. And I'm praying that this doesn't just, you know, kind of become another news story that's forgotten in a week. This is an opportunity at the end of the school year for Christians. Go in prayer. Ask what the Lord would have you do. Because this is an incredible opportunity to raise up a generation in righteousness and teach them the scriptures and do what we should have done a long time ago and get our kids out of there. What do you guys think?
I think you're...
Roger that.
Yeah, you're dead on. Unfortunately, you know, the way they split the family up, making most families, both parents work, it's hard for people to homeschool. But at the same time, I think people need to make that a priority in the lives of their families. You know, it's not, I mean, unless you need both those jobs to pay the bills, it's more important for a parent to stay home and take time for their...
Adjust your budget.
Yeah.
Hey, let me make one more plea. Grandma and Grandpa, if you're listening and you got kids, you got grandkids, but the kids work and they can't do exactly what you were saying, Joe, they're busy, they can't do it. If you're retired, step step up. We have Grandpa teaching English on Monday. Grandma teaches the Bible on Tuesday. Grandpa teaches, whatever, zoology on Wednesday. Imagine all of our baby boomer, our elderly population that is retired, if they got involved and they became,
Greg,
they have.
Greg, God bless you, brother. We got to run.